podcast is part of the Podcast You're Seeing Network. Visit us at www.podcastyourseeing.com.
Local media has an agenda that they're gonna serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
Why? This is a question.
Walking backwards. Yeah. Something sacred.
I don't know the names of the creep songs. Those
running in circles.
Just pop in and let play.
Sea of Glass.
The Flight and the Fall.
I love Ozzy. I think he's the true definition of a rock star.
So came out by your speakers.
Anybody else have any interesting stories they don't want to come to tell?
This is Doug from After the Fall. Hey, this is John Lane from the thriving tropics of Leechburg, Pennsylvania.
The Pennsylvania Rock Show. Featuring the best unsigned rock that Pennsylvania has to offer. What's the story this week? Am I fucking your woman? I'm fucked up. I'm actually pale.
Let's go. What's up with this shattered tremor? Hey, it's Bill, and you're tuned into the Pennsylvania Rock Show, featuring the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer, right here on PARockShow.com, MegaRockRadio.net, and KFGD 107.1 FM out of St. Louis, Missouri, XRP Radio out of the Highlands of Scotland, RootRootRadio.com on Ocean Beach, San Diego, California, Oldies XL, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and right here in the thriving metropolis of Leechburg, Pennsylvania, Build the Scene Radio. My name is Bill. This is episode number 645 of the Pennsylvania Rock Show. With me tonight are three members of the band Dragonfly Effect. What's up, gentlemen?
What's happening?
How's it going?
Not too bad. I recently found out about you guys through First Angel Media. And I have a weird link there where I'm actually the VP of First Angel Media, but I also own Build the Scene. So, with you guys, I worked with you as First Angel Media and now Build the Scene. So,
yeah, I was not sure where the crossover with all that was, because like, I see you guys cross promote a lot and I just wasn't sure like what, who was affiliated where, but I guess both.
Yep. It's Bill. So, Jonna owns First Angel Media, and I own Build the Scene, and we work together on a ton of things. And okay. Here in the near future, you're going to see a lot of XRP stuff cross-promoted with us, too, which is the station from Scotland.
Okay.
So cool. There's big things on the horizon to sound like those bands that say that all the time.
The local band claim to fame.
Yeah. I can feel it.
So, Corey, it's just like I was taking pictures of you. You're sitting in the dark, but there's lights. It's weird.
Yeah. This is my environment.
The nest.
So, let's start off with a cliche question. Where did the name Dragonfly? Now, let me try that again. Dragonfly. I'm speaking a different language. Dragonfly Effect come from?
I'll take that one. So we went to Riot Fest in 2019, me and a group of friends, and there was this Mongolian throat singing band that was playing called The Hue. I don't know if you've ever heard of them, but they're like they have a unique sound, and they're really good. But like during their set, it was like 2 PM, and it like had just rained right before they went on. And like, I don't know if it was like the throat singing that like made these dragonflies just like swarm out of everywhere. But there were just dragonflies everywhere in the middle of this field. So fast forward, I don't know, what, 2 years, a year?
Or, last September, I think, yeah.
We were all just like this, a mutual friend of Matt, and his name is Brad. He was the guy I was with at Riot Fest. And then we were just, you know, chatting about band names. And he just kind of like spitballed it. And like me and Matt were just like, wow, that's actually pretty good, because we were back and forth between a few different names for a little while there, and then as soon as he spit out Dragonfly Effect, we were just like, wow, that's actually kind of cool. So we just rolled with it, and that's where it came from, is the Dragonflies whenever you was playing at Riot Fest.
You guys got to come up with a folklore story to go along with that. While you were telling it, of course, my brain is not working again, but the John Cena superhero show.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Where the, like the little alien fairy things take over people.
So we kind of have like a backstory. Like, I don't know if we can get into that now, I guess. But like we kind of have like this dystopian backstory that we're kind of trying to base like the image and like the overall like vibe off of.
I also kind of get like a, and I'm going to go back years here, but kind of when I'm looking at your imaging and your marketing, I get like an X-Files feeling from the images. Yeah, like
a science fiction type of thing. We are kind of targeting that a little bit, and by a little bit, I mean a lot.
Yeah.
So you're leaving a show, and there's a DeLorean sitting there with its door open and a flux capacitor in the back seat. So you can borrow it and bring it back, and no one will ever know you had it. Where are you going in time, and what band are you going to hang out with while you're there?
1985, and I'm going to go party with Motley Crue. That's my answer.
I would probably go back and see if I can hang out with the Pink Floyd guys.
It's a good one. I think I'd have to echo what Jay said. I think I'd like to go hang out with Motley Crue. I think they'd be pretty fun to hang out with back in the day.
Yeah, that would have to be such an experience, man. Probably won't remember it, but it would probably just fall off.
I've said what I'm about to say probably a million times on this show, but I feel like the Dirt movie was a letdown because there's no way that they weren't worse than what they showed.
Right.
Yeah. That movie was pretty good, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I mean, it was definitely Hollywooded a bit, but...
It was, but it was still a cool story. I like how Ozzy just, like, snorted the E in the fire ants.
I don't know if I could do that.
Yeah, it was, I think it was Tommy Lee's. I don't remember detail. I'm pretty sure it was Tommy Lee's.
Yeah, like pushed him out of the way. He's like, I'm taking that too.
Yeah. Ozzy would be a good one to go back and hang out with, though. Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stick with a couple questions that you need a DeLorean for. So next, you can sit down at dinner with any four people in the history of the world. Who are you going to sit down with?
I'd say probably George Washington would be one of them. I'm a history nerd, so like it's just kind of one of the things like I think it'd be really cool to hang out with him. That's all I'm really thinking of right now.
It's a hard question if you're fast, because anybody in the history of the world.
I mean, that's just the one that popped into my head.
I think like one at least. I would probably definitely want to go hang out with Mozart.
That's a good one.
And then the recent one I would definitely like to sit down with Randy Rhoads, because he was one of my like all time idols. The other two, I don't know. I'll have to think about that. Maybe some like old king or something. I don't know.
There you go.
Mozart is a good one, though.
Yeah, that'd be cool, man.
Or like Beethoven. Or like Pluto or Socrates or like one of the old like Greek philosophers.
Yeah, it'd be cool to see if like they were actually as smart as they seemed, or if like
they were just
making shit up and it just happened to be cool.
Yeah. Or like even like an old pharaoh, like in Egyptian times, would be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, go hang out and see how they actually made them pyramids. Yeah,
built the pyramids and just kind of check it all out. Which I was talking about.
I was wondering who that was.
It's my mom.
I was talking to my brother yesterday about the pyramids, and like they like originally were like had gold peaks and stuff on them, and were like nice crispy white on the outside. Like, I always wonder why, like, humans refurbish everything that there is. Like, why don't they do something to those things?
So you're leading me to another question. Okay, so Kiss played in a bay in Australia to great white sharks, and Metallica played in Antarctica. What non-standard venue do you think Dragonfly Effects should play at?
Space station.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that works. That works really well.
It actually works out perfectly. Yeah,
I immediately started thinking of the was it Metalocalypse? Whenever they go and play at the Mariana Trench.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, space station's a good one.
Space station's a good one.
Yeah,
I'm down. We should do it.
We'll go to space elevator and
let's figure that out somehow. Let's see.
That's another thing. Me and Brad had a very long, in-depth conversation about it, like 4 a.m.
Oh, God. Let's just call up NASA and be like, hey, can we come play a show there?
Right. Well, currently, I think NASA isn't sending any shuttles there, because if I remember correctly, Russia was threatening to leave our astronauts there.
That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
So you might need to call Elon.
Yeah, maybe.
Just hit him up on Twitter. Be like, yeah, dude, let me borrow one of them rockets.
I'll slide his DMs and be like, yo, what up?
He's probably cooler anyways, honestly.
Oh, you probably have a better shot talking to Elon than you would at NASA.
Anybody from NASA, yeah.
All right, so Matt, your mom would like to know when your next concert is.
I think
we're
hang on.
February,
no, I'm gonna say, I think right off, yeah, I think the next show is like February, what was it, 19th?
Or 18th or somewhere in the middle of February.
Yeah, it was like February 18th is a Saturday. That's our currently next booked show. I know there was that potential for the one next month, December 10th, but I don't know if that's what the status is with that.
I don't know if that's happening now or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I have a former guest hanging out, Mighty Casey. I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. But he's asked two questions for you. He wants to know what your favorite music genre is and what your favorite rock song is.
I'd say favorite genre for me is like alternative rock, hard rock.
I'm probably the same. I like alternative, like progressive metal. I like classic rock too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely more of the prog metal over here.
All right, so we're going to get a little more in depth with that question. So you guys are out on your first major tour, and for some reason you hire me to drive your tour bus. What music am I going to be playing in between shows?
Grateful Dead the whole way.
Oh, God.
Oh, I'm jumping out.
Jumping out.
I second that.
So the whole tour is going to be one song?
No, for real, like in between city to city, I don't know. We'd have to get
like some Dead and Fish and stuff. That would be like a nice like
mixed in
trip.
Yeah. Just to break the norm.
I mean, I think if we put on like some like brutal metal or something, I mean, I don't know, Dryly's probably going to start fighting us or something.
Just start kicking shit. Kevin will be kicking.
Yeah.
Kicking drinks off.
We have to mix it up, though. We can go from like pop to some Dead and Fish to some alternative and
yeah, whatever. I mean,
metal, and we'd have to mix it up. I like all music, so I'm not really too particular when it comes to that.
Let's do a couple questions with movie themes. Have you guys seen the movie Rockstar?
No.
Yeah.
Oh, I got a yeah. Who was yeah? Okay, Jay,
it's been a little while, but yeah, that's the Judas Priest one, right?
Well, they won't let you say that, but yes, that's
right.
All right, so basically, for anyone not familiar, the movie is loosely based on Judas Priest when they replaced their singer with Tim Ripper Owens, who was in a tribute band for them, and he did a couple albums with them and then left. Because they brought him back. So here's the question, Jay. You end up in a tribute band, and the band that you're doing the tribute for asks you to come out and audition. Do you do it?
Yeah.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, especially if you're in a tribute band, you're already like really into that band. Like that would be like a dream come true in that situation.
Yeah. I'd say yeah.
And you're probably making a hell of a lot more money with the real band than you would with the tribute band.
Yeah.
I would hope.
I kind of feel that there were, you know, Judas Priest was sort of inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, sort of. But they left some people out, including Ripper Owens. And I have a hard time with that. I feel like,
especially Ripper's been like one of my favorite metal singers for a long time. Like every project he's done, he's just killed it. Because like without him coming in through that period, I don't know if Priest was making it through that segment there. Because like metal was kind of dying off anyways. Yeah, it's kind of a not cool move to keep him out on that.
Well, and he wasn't the only member that they didn't include, but all right, so. Next movie scene, and this one all of you can answer. So this is my Forrest Gump question. So you're sitting on a bench, and along comes your musical idol, and they sit down next to you. And you get to have a conversation with them, kind of like Forested with his box of chocolates, except you can only ask one question of your idol. Who are you talking to, and what question are you going to ask?
That is a really hard one.
That is a really hard one, yeah. It's hard to even pick who I would be sitting by.
I know who it is, I just don't know what question, what one question I'd ask. That's just the hardest part to narrow down for me.
Well, here, while you're thinking, I'm going to tell you it's kind of a reverse situation, but I once met Gene Simmons at a book signing.
Nice.
And he asked me one question, and it was how my camera worked. So I had a conversation with Gene Simmons on how my Sony Mavica camera worked.
It's a good memory.
It really was. A lot of people have bad memories of meeting him. Mine was cool.
I might have to be sitting next to John Lennon, but I don't know what I would ask him. Probably just ask him how his day was. Honestly.
I would be sitting from that. Yeah, right. Get a whole album from him. Yeah, I would be sitting next to, like I said earlier, probably Randy Rhoads, and I don't know what I would ask him though. Probably, what's it like working with this madman Ozzy?
Yeah,
it's a good one. I'd be sitting next to somebody I've already had the pleasure of meeting, Ben Burnley from Breaking Benjamin. Question I'd probably ask him is what ultimately got him to want to do music in the capacity that he does music? What inspired him the most?
Okay. All right. So I have another question coming from both, Mr. Mouse and Mighty Casey. They would like to know how long you guys have been making music.
Like together or just.
I think you can answer it both ways if you'd like.
I mean, collectively, probably
a long time.
Geez, like 30 years, probably, give or take.
Yeah, I've been playing live since I was 13. I'm 35 now.
Yeah. So,
like,
yeah, I've been 20 years at it, I would say. Yeah, yeah. About 13 and I'm 33.
I've been doing this since I was 12. I'm 29. So it's been quite a long time.
Yeah, and then me and Matt have been writing stuff together for, what, going on 4 years?
It's 2016, so 6 years.
So 6 years, and then this is the first time I've ever been working with Jay, but I've known him, and, like, I've worked with, like, mutual friends and stuff in the past, too.
Yep. Yeah, I think we were playing shows together back in, like, our separate bands.
Yeah, back in, like, 07 and 09.
Yep.
Hey, listen, just because it worked... Later, when I try and remember the name of that MTV show that I was talking to you about, it's Storytellers.
MTV Storytellers.
Yep.
It makes sense because that's literally what you do on the show.
Yes, and I couldn't remember it. So later, when I go MTV, everybody say Storytellers because I'm not going to remember.
I got you.
Okay, so let's go to... Oh, I know. What is the best pizza you've had because you're a musician? So it has to be linked somehow to being in a band.
I mean, any pizza after a show, after exhausting that much energy, you're just like,
you just said pizza, Matt's face was just like,
hey, that's like the special word for me. I'm like, somebody's like, oh, I got pizza. I'm like, all right, I'm there.
I mean, most of the time I'm in Pittsburgh, I'll make sure to try to grab Aeolio's. Like, that place is just fantastic.
Yeah. We played a show at, what the hell is it called? Roboto Project, I think. And there's a little, I don't want to say like a hole in the wall place, but a place called Spack Brothers that was really good. And I never even would have like heard of it if we weren't playing a show there, so.
Roboto's not still around, is it?
I don't know. That was years ago too.
I was gonna say I can't imagine they made it through the 2020 thing, but maybe.
It might be, honestly, because that place was like a donation only type of deal too.
Yeah.
So
it was a cool place.
Yeah, it was cool.
So I just got a question in the chat that actually reminded me of a question that I used to ask all the time that I haven't asked in forever. So I'm going to give you their question, and then I'm going to ask you mine. And it may be the same answer, but
cool.
So Jay Sino says, if one of you could only listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be?
These questions are so hard.
They are tough. I'm going to be cliche and typical. Phobia by Breaking Ben. That's, for me, probably one of the best albums for them. I could listen to that for the rest of my life and be fine with it.
I feel like that's
going to be your answer for my other question too, then.
Probably.
I feel like I would probably go with Left Overture from Kansas. That's one of those bands and albums that, like, my entire life I've always crutched back to that. Like, that would probably be my Desert Island album.
There it is. There's a band called Iron and Wine that I like a lot. And they had a live set from Bonnaroo in 2007. And that would be something that I would be able to listen to even when I'm old. And like, I think it can transcend across a bunch of decades.
I want you to think about that one album that you can listen to first track all the way to the end, and imagine that you now have never heard it and you get to hear it again for the first time. Which album is that? Which one do you want to have that euphoria all over again?
There's an album called Long Live by a band called The Chariot. That back when it came out, I was real into that like hardcore style of music, and I was like borderline obsessed with it for a few years. So if I could just like restart that and do that again, that'd be pretty badass.
I think mine would probably be the first Megadeth. What was that? The Killing Is My Business album. My dad introduced me to that when I was like 7 or 8, and that like started this entire downhill chain of metal. But it was like so influential. I would love to like re-experience that as an adult.
Yeah, I still got to go with Phobia for me. There was just a particular time in my life where I was kind of like discovering. I had rock introduced to me for a bit, but like not in the capacity that Phobia kind of hit me in. That's just something I would definitely like to re-feel again. That'd be really cool. Just experience that nostalgia again.
So there's a shout out to Matt from Valentino Presuti.
Thanks, man.
Another question coming from the Peanut Gallery. K. Cole would like to know who has inspired you the most.
Hi, Aunt Kate.
I feel like I have to be on really, like, I'm always on good behavior, but maybe we should be on good behavior.
I don't know. Maybe my parents.
That's a good one. I got to go with that. Yeah, my parents and my family has always been a group of people that have really always pushed for me to do my best and always been behind me in pretty much everything that I do. They've always been big cheerleaders for me, and it's been really refreshing and a blessing to have them behind me.
Yeah. I had support from both my parents, but mostly was from my dad, because he was an old 80s shredder, and he started me playing whenever there's pictures of me. I can barely walk and I'm holding his Les Paul. Like, I started so young, and like, he always was pushing me to do everything in music. Like I said, I had support from other people, but like, anytime everyone's like, yo, you know, go get like a real job, my dad's like, no, dude, just keep doing it. So,
all right. So before we get too much further along, cause we were pushing my time limit. You guys are sending me the song Lost Inside to play with this episode. And now is your MTV storyteller's time. Tell me a story about that song.
Yeah. So Lost Inside, it being the first single we released as a band, it was one of those things that the song came about relatively quickly. And I mean that in like a good way. It wasn't like rushed, but all the pieces fell into place in a very, like I said, brief, quick manner. And the song really kind of, I don't want to say it's like the anthem of what we kind of the sound we're going for as a band, but for lack of a better way to describe it, that's kind of like set the tone of kind of the direction and everything that we're, you know, we're going collectively as a group. But the Lost Inside kind of chronicles the journey of, depending on how you look at it, being caught up in a dystopian fallout or the death of a loved one, loss of a relationship, however you want to personify that. That's kind of what that chronicles. But it's a really kind of powerful song, and it's just probably one of my favorites.
Yeah, it's kind of helped to define like our sound as far as like the, I hate to use the word vibe, but it like gives off like our sound, you know? So like, I think for us, like we try to set the bar high because it was our first single. So we tried to incorporate a bunch of different elements and, you know, a bunch of the electronic stuff in there to try to like set our tone and, you know, just something to set our sound apart from, you know, any other hard rock band, basically.
Yep. It's like the defining track.
Yeah, it was like a defining track. You know, in the bridge, we added like an AI voice in there too, which like goes with our backstory and like the, like you said about like trying to build a lore. Like we are, you know, sort of trying to do that now, you know, that AI voice, like we, you know, we basically like made her like a part of the band more or less. Like we named her, her name's Aria. And, you know, she's like kind of like the lingering, like omnipotent overseer, you know, that is like in this, she's like the overseer of what we call the Dragonfly Corporation, which is like a, you know, pseudo government agency that is implanting these little mind link interfaces, is what we call them, into.
This doesn't sound that far off from my evil fairies comment.
And like, the story's cool because like as we were writing Lost Inside, we started coming up with all this stuff here too. So like, we're the album that is going to be coming out somewhat soon, like we're calling The Void. You know, and it's like this government agency called the Dragonfly Corporation is like trying to basically like implant humanity with these little, you know, mind link interfaces, what we call them. They're basically barcodes. You know, once you get your barcode, you're basically just a number. You know, you kind of don't have, you can't really think for yourself, which is like a metaphor of like the media and everybody being lost inside, you know, just based on like what you see is like what you are basically. And you're being force fed, like what to believe. You know, Matt can elaborate more because I feel like I'm just rambling at this point.
Yeah. So basically Corey kind of hit the nail on the head. Basically the Aria, she is like the main antagonist, like of us, basically the Dragonfly effect. We were the resistance to what the Dragonfly Corporation was pumping out to the masses. And this is meant to happen way in the future. We're actually not that far off. Like the year we said it's set to happen in was like 2045
somewhere.
So like, yeah. It's actually not that far off. But yeah, the Dragonfly Corporation, basically like Corey said, came out with these mind link interfaces, which was meant to kind of cure the human condition in a way, you know, provide insight, data access, whatever, you know, but ultimately it meant to be, it was a tool of enslavement that like, here, we're basically going to control what you can and can't do, authorize your time, whatever, you know, it has to all go through them basically. And we're like, well, to heck with that. We're basically going to go against that and say, hey, stand up for yourself, believe in yourself, and identify as your own individual person, and don't just follow the masses and think for yourself and be yourself.
And that's what the Dragonfly effect is. It's basically like, you know, the band and all of its like fans and followers and just people in general that are like going against, you know, what you could, you know, the government or, you know, in this case, the Dragonfly Corporation.
Yeah,
it's a cool story. And like Dryly, he's not with us now, but we were talking this past weekend with not an animator, but she
graphic artist.
She's like a graphic artist. So we're going to do a small series of graphic novels that like follows the storyline that we have that coincides with all the music. So it should be neat.
Yeah.
Hey, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a moment. And we are going to listen to Lost Inside by Dragonfly Effect. That was Lost Inside by Dragonfly Effect. Three of those gentlemen are hanging out with us tonight. So I feel like this question is probably going to get a good answer. And you may read into it however you would like. So there is a catastrophic event, and it wipes out the majority of humans on Earth and all but one song from every band. Which Dragonfly Effect song should survive that catastrophic event and help repopulate the Earth?
I would have to go with probably Shadows.
I was going to say, we actually already have we have a song that like literally says like talking about the Earth. Us. So,
and it's kind of more of the ballad song. So that's better for populating.
It is. Yeah.
It is. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that word.
Anybody could listen to Shadows. You don't have to like metal or pop or like progressive or anything. It's like across all genres. It's just like an easy listening song.
Yeah.
Okay. So now's where I put you each on the spot.
Nice.
What I want is I want to hear about some embarrassing moments that have happened on stage. But you can't tell me about something you did You have to tell me about something somebody else in the band did that embarrassed you.
I was always the embarrassing one. So. Back in my younger years, I had a tendency to get a little bit wild. Who's first?
Core, if you want to go first, go
yeah,
for
you're,
it.
You're starting. You can go ahead.
So an embarrassing thing.
Now, does it have to be current project or can it be past project?
Maybe any project.
Anything? Okay.
Wow, how many are there?
It's not about me, though. It's about somebody else doing something embarrassing.
Yeah, if it's not in this band, you don't have to name names.
Yeah.
But if it is this band, I want to.
I was going to say, if I did something, Corey, just say it now.
No, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, Reggie was always a little wild on stage. You know, and I don't know.
He's just wild in general, man.
Just wild in general. Oh, you know what was one thing is whenever we were playing with Armstrong and we were playing at the Hard Rock in Pittsburgh and we took a party bus down there to play one time and he ended up getting so smashed by the end of the night that he took a 6-pack of beer bottles and was throwing them off the stage, like at the MC and back at the bar. And then like whenever the time came where they were just like, these dudes have to get out of here. They, hey Jace, what's up?
Jason.
But anyways, they basically were just like, yeah, they pulled the power on us. And then it just turned into like, we turned the whole Hard Rock into more or less a riot.
I feel like I have a few with Armstrong as well, but I don't want to gang up on him.
Yeah. I'd still love you, Mike, if you ever see this.
Yeah. I think probably one of mine was early on. There was, it was back in high school. There used to be like, I forget what they called it. It was like something like Band-Aid or something, but like all five bands that existed in the high school played at the auditorium. And the band I was in at the time, I had two of my friends come up the last song of the set. I think we were doing like Paradise City. They came up and they were smashed. Granted, this is still high school. They come up and in the break right before they start, you know, dropping F-bombs, going, you know, saying a lot of stuff that you certainly should not be saying towards all the, you know, administration at the school. So they immediately pulled the plug on the mics and they started cutting down all the sound. So the whole last solo, it was my amp that was still playing and just acoustic drums, which in, you know, a 1,000-seat auditorium, you're not hearing them anywhere. So after all this, I'm just up there by myself playing the solo to Paradise City with like nothing else going on while everybody's in awe of what they just said. I was like, this is great. I'm leaving.
I'm out. See ya.
Yep.
Back in the day with one of my first bands, it was called Insomnia Cafe. We were playing at Java Trails in Norman Square.
Good old Java Trails.
Good old Java Trails, man. And I think we had just finished covering a Nirvana. I think we covered Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana. And I was still in high school at the time. My bass player, she basically told the audience, hey, you can start clapping now, assholes.
Oh.
I was like, why?
That's pretty funny, dude.
I was like, you can't say that.
So, I have another good one too. Go ahead, you finish yours, Matt.
No, and that was basically it. And I was like, I just kind of went like that. And like,
yeah, just turned your head away.
I turned around and I was like, oh, that didn't just happen.
And I just, how did the crowd react to that?
They all kind of went. So that's that.
That's that.
Needless to say, that band, we split up very quickly, very shortly after that. So I was like, nope.
All right, so I have another question coming from the chat from Jay Sino. He wants to know, what's your favorite song to perform?
I feel like that's my brother. But do you guys have a particular one that you guys like performing the most?
I'm like going through them all in my head right now.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at.
I'd say the cover that we did, we got the first chance to do it at our last show at the Manor Legion. It was a cover of Starset, My Demons. I think that was probably one of my favorite ones to do. Original, though, I'd probably have to say Lost Inside.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with Lost Inside. The Starset cover is fun to play, though. I also really like playing In Flames. I like that, like, triplet, the little triplet part in the middle there with, like, the real ambient sounds going on in the background.
Oh, the breakdown,
That was going to be mine, too. Probably In Flames is probably the most fun for me. I think that's the most, like, consistent energy the whole way through. And, like, I don't know, man.
That song does.
Colorblind's really cool, too.
Yeah.
Because the way that I play that on bass is, like, a little bit more challenging.
It is.
So, like, that one's pretty fun.
Shadows is hard to play because it's so slow.
It's so slow.
Yeah, dude.
95 BPMs, and it's harder to play slower than it is faster.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever played anything at 95 BPM.
I mean, we can double the click if we need. Like, we get...
I'm used to it. It just took me forever to physically, like, get used to swinging the stick that slow.
Yeah.
Well, it's funny, the practice version I have doesn't have drums or anything. So I just have this, like, super slow click, and it's just, like, guitar and vocals. I'm like, I'm dragging through. I'm like, oh, man. It's much better with drums to keep the tempo.
Yeah. I was rushing that song for a long time, too, whenever we first started playing it. Like, and I was like, what is going wrong here? And then I was like, you're just literally speeding up every time.
Yeah, you're playing 100 beats per minute and rushing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is one of them songs you can definitely get ahead of it very easily. Like,
yeah. Now it's like ingrained in my mind, though. And I love playing that song too.
That's a good one.
It has a nice build and nice energy at the end of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have an easy question for you, especially since I just put probably part of your answer at the bottom of the video. where can the listeners find you guys online? What's the best place to send them?
Yeah, probably our .com, dragonflyeffectband.com, and everything, all of our social links, all of our streaming links, they're all on there. And all of our releases, it's literally just a section on the website. You can just play it one back-to-back-to-back pretty much.
Yeah, I don't really tell everybody the .com or the Spotify.
Yeah,
I'm a Spotify user, so.
Apple Music. but we're on Apple Music, Spotify, Napster, I think. YouTube, pretty much anywhere and everywhere you can find it, we're pretty much there.
So we kind of covered what you have coming up next as far as shows, but we have not covered what you guys have coming up on December 16th, and I feel like this is the perfect time for that to happen. So go for it.
Yeah, December 16th, we have a really tasty new single coming out. It's called Someday, and it's our first release with our new record label that we signed with back in July, Sono Music Group. So big shout out to them for bringing us on board, and just we're really excited about it.
Yeah, the other thing I will say is Someday is the first song that we wrote collectively with all five members in the band being in the band. Because up until then, it was me and Matt, and then it was me, Matt, and Kevin, and then Jay and Dryley have been on board now for... what, almost 6 months?
Say since beginning of August, so
somewhere like that. So, yeah, it feels good to have, like, all five heads working on a project now. And I really like the way that this one turned out. I think it's going to be one of our biggest, biggest releases yet.
Yep.
Hey, one more off-the-wall question, and I'll let you guys go.
I like the off-the-wall questions because you're making me think.
Yep, they're fun.
All right, so this one is actually the official Build the Scene question, and it is, who is your Dave Grohl? And by that, I mean, what band or musician do you want to go up on stage with and play one of their originals?
Go up and play an originals. I just discovered Starset, but I would really love to go play a song with those guys. Well, since I discovered them, I have nothing but respect for them, and like their sound is good, and they're they have complexity and they have good hooks and things like that. Plus, their cinematic and like their visual aspect of everything, I really like. Aspire to get there at some point. So
yep.
I think mine would probably be Dream Theater.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That would just be incredible.
That would be incredible.
Nice. For me, I already got the opportunity to do this. Breaking Benjamin, I got the chance to play with them live a couple different times. And it was just, it was a rush. It was really cool.
All right. So I want to thank you guys for hanging out with me on episode 645.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us, bud. Appreciate it.
Really appreciate it.
And for those of you that this is your first time seeing the show, we do this weekly. It releases on Friday at buildascene.com. I mentioned Three Questions and a Song, which is the first and the 15th of the month. And then Friendly Fire is monthly-ish, but it doesn't really have a set date. So you just kind of have to watch Build a Scene and XRP and First Angel Media to figure out when we're doing that one. We do have buildascene.com/radio, which you will be able to find Lost Inside on here shortly once they send it to me. with that said, what you're going to hear next is a little blurb from John American Herald Jack Lane. And he's going to tell you about how you can subscribe and leave comments about the show. After that, you'll hear some more of the best unsigned rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. And then, if you're tuned into any of those other stations, you're going to hear some music that isn't from our playlist. But on the majority of those stations, you're going to be hearing more unsigned and independent music. And you should hang out because you may find your next favorite band. With that said, we will see you on the next episode.
Sounds good, man. Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thanks so much.
Yeah. This episode of the Pennsylvania Rock Show has ended, but be sure to subscribe to be introduced to more of the best on-sign rock and metal that Pennsylvania has to offer. Don't forget to rate and review the show, and we'll see you on the next episode.